take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, April 7th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us here today for the show. We've got all sorts of great stuff coming up for you today. If you are interested in the unfolding legalization of marijuana all across the North American continent, this is the place to be. On our show today, we've got our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment where we speak to another great speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And joining us at half past the hour today, we've got Allison Watson. She's a former assistant district attorney in Knoxville, Tennessee, who says, quote, "I never went home after prosecuting a drug case feeling like I had made the world a safer or better place," end quote. We'll talk with Allison about her history as a district attorney and how it taught her that the only reasonable solution is to legalize all drugs. That's coming up at half past, so make sure you join us for that in our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. And make sure you visit leap.cc to learn more about law enforcement against prohibition. They got speakers all over the country and all around the world, and you could have one at your next event. So find out more at leap.cc. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I ask the question, why do marijuana reformers constantly reinvent the wheel? In all the states that are looking to legalize marijuana or medicalize marijuana in the next year or two, there always seems to be more than one group trying to do so. And I just wonder, why can't we all get behind one initiative in our state to make these changes? I'll explain why when we get to the radical rant at the end of the show today. Coming up in the Drug War Data Mines, we're also going to take a look at the upcoming 420 holiday, which is no longer considered to be kind of a joke. It's really getting mainstream attention these days, and especially in Colorado, where they're expecting to set sales records this 420 holiday. 420 comes on a Wednesday this year, so there's a weekend before and a weekend after that everyone's looking toward, and we'll give you an estimate as to what the sales numbers might look like coming out of Denver this 420. Also on the show today, behind the headlines, we told you the headline yesterday about the Drug Enforcement Administration announcing they would make a decision on petitions to reschedule cannabis before the end of June 2016, the first half of this year. Jacob Solomon at Reason lays out three reasons why we shouldn't get too excited about this announcement, and I tend to agree with him. We'll talk about that in Behind the Headlines, but all that comes up right after our first segment, the Cannabis Radio News. And in the radio news headlines today, we've got a decision from a federal court in Hawaii about Native American Church and their use of cannabis sacrament. We've got a medical marijuana initiative in Ohio that has been certified for signature gathering, this being the second one certified. But then down in Arkansas, we've got the Attorney General there rejecting legalization initiative from Mary Berry, the wonderfully named woman out of Summit, Arkansas. In Vermont, the House there is rejecting the Senate's legalization proposal and instead offering an alternative decriminalization proposal that has me shaking my head. In Washington, D.C., we got some numbers on public toking arrests that belie a terrible racial disparity that still exists. In Calgary, Canada, we've got the arrest of Dana Larson to tell you all about. And here in Portland, Oregon, Uncle Spliffy, that is Cliff Robinson, the former NBA superstar, has announced the latest venture in his Uncle Spliffy cannabis line. All that coming up in hour one of the Russ Belville Show. Then stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We take your calls and dish more on the unfolding issue of marijuana.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor or are you smoking sun grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, April 7th, 2016. Honolulu, Hawaii. A federal court has ruled that a church for Native Americans in Hawaii should not be excused from federal marijuana laws, despite the group's claim that ingesting cannabis is part of their sacred sacrament. The Native American Church of Hawaii had asked for relief from federal marijuana laws under the U.S. Religious Freedom Restoration Act, saying they used cannabis during sweat lodge ceremonies to help people connect with their creator. A district court ruled against the claim, saying the church didn't produce enough admissible evidence about its religion other than a strong belief in the benefits of marijuana. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Wednesday upheld the district court's decision, saying a prohibition of cannabis doesn't impose a substantial burden on their right to exercise their religion. Columbus, Ohio. 1 week after a medical marijuana initiative from the Marijuana Policy Project was approved for signature gathering, a second medical marijuana initiative has been approved in Ohio. The initiative from Grassroots Ohio has been certified by the Ohio Attorney General, who rejected their initial submission of a petition summary weeks prior. Now the Ohio Ballot Board must decide if the initiative is one single issue and whether it runs afoul of the anti-monopoly provisions passed into law last year to thwart the failed attempt to legalize marijuana in Ohio last year. If successful, Grassroots Ohio must collect over 305,000 signatures to make the November ballot. Grassroots Ohio initiative would allow anyone to use marijuana medically without a doctor's recommendation or any registration with the state. Little Rock, Arkansas. Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge is again rejecting a proposed state constitutional amendment by Mary Berry of Summit to legalize marijuana in Arkansas. Berry's proposal seeks to legalize the cultivation, production, sale, possession, and use of the cannabis plant, including marijuana. It also calls for the release of nonviolent marijuana offenders from incarceration, probation, and parole, and to expunge their convictions from criminal records. Rutledge said in a letter Thursday that there are still ambiguities in the text of the proposal. This is the 8th time she has rejected the proposal. Montpelier, Vermont. The Vermont House has rejected the proposed marijuana legalization bill passed by the Senate and is proposing its own decriminalization bill in response. House Judiciary Committee Chairwoman Maxine Grad, a Democrat from Moortown, proposed an alternative to S-241, the Senate bill that would legalize marijuana possession and create a system of marijuana shops and cultivators, but forbid home grow of cannabis and sales of edible cannabis products. Her measure would not legalize marijuana, but rather add to Vermont's 2012 decriminalization of an ounce of marijuana by decriminalizing cultivation of two cannabis plants. Grad's bill also lowers the alcohol DUI limit from 0.08 to 0.05 BAC if a driver is found to have THC in his or her system as well. Washington, D.C. Despite legalization of marijuana by a 70% vote in 2014, 84% of those arrested for public toking in the district are African American. The major talking point of the campaign that sold marijuana legalization was the gross racial disparity in marijuana policing, which found as many as 9 in 10 marijuana arrestees were black. While possession of up to 2 ounces in public is now legal, smoking marijuana in public is still a misdemeanor with a potential $500 fine and 90 days in jail. Calgary, Canada. Vancouver marijuana activist Dana Larson was arrested by Calgary police last night following a free cannabis seed giveaway. Larson is traversing Canada with his Overgrow Canada campaign, in which he vows to give away 1 million free cannabis seeds for public planting. Calgary police arrested Larson and another man and confiscated Larson's van. Portland, Oregon. Former NBA All-Star and Portland Trailblazer Cliff Robinson has announced the next venture for his Uncle Spliffy cannabis line, a cannabis resort. In a press release, Robinson outlined plans for Cliff Robinson's Garden Club, an exciting and exclusive cannabis club and destination retreat in Oregon, hosting local members-only events as well as national and international canna tourism adventures. Robinson will pitch the venture at the ArcView Group's Investor Summit in Portland, taking place May 2nd and May 3rd. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, April 7th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we are taking a look at the situation going on with the DEA rescheduling announcement. This was something that we had brought up on the show yesterday as to how the DEA made this announcement that before the first half of 2016 ends, they are going to make their announcement about the petitions they've received to reschedule cannabis. And Jacob Sullum out at Reason.com has written a post entitled, Three Reasons to Doubt the DEA Will Agree to Reclassify Marijuana This Year. And I tend to agree with him on this point. I think a lot of people on our side are getting very excited, thinking that this is a big announcement that marijuana is going to be rescheduled to Schedule 2 or Schedule 3 before the end of the Obama administration. And a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse here and getting excited that finally, you know, the last thing Obama does, his legacy, he will be the guy that rescheduled marijuana. But people are reading too much into this. This announcement is just an announcement that they will tell us what their decision is. It doesn't tell us what their decision will be. And the reasons that Jacob gives, I think, are pretty compelling. Number one, he says the DEA has a history of dragging its feet in response to these rescheduling petitions. This is the fourth time we've had a rescheduling petition going before the DEA. Normal did one way back in the day, in the 1990s, I think, and it didn't get responded until 2001 or something like that. It's been between 6 to 16 years every time that they reject a petition. It takes them 6 to 16 years to reject it. Now, don't think it really takes 6 to 16 years to review the evidence and make a decision. They just delay and delay and delay as long as they can because they don't want to give any answers on marijuana legalization. This most recent petition, the fourth petition, was filed in 2009 by a medical marijuana activist in New Mexico. And the fifth petition was filed in 2011 by Christine Gregoire, who was the governor of Washington at the time, and Lincoln Chafee, who was then the governor of Rhode Island. So we've got petitions out there. 2009, you know, we're talking 7 years ago now. 2011, 5 years ago now. So well within their typical waiting period when it comes to answering these petitions. Now, the DEA has received the scientific evaluation and scheduling recommendation from HHS. That was predicated by the letter from Earl Blumenauer and some other congressmen with respect to marijuana legalization. So they've got this information before them. They've got the information from Health and Human Services, but it doesn't tell us what Health and Human Services is recommending. We just know that they've gotten something from HHS. So the memo from DEA said, DEA has received the HHS scientific and medical evaluations as well as a rescheduling recommendation, or as well as a scheduling recommendation, and is currently reviewing these documents and all other relevant data to make a scheduling determination in accordance with the Controlled Substances Act. Once the final determination has been made, the DEA will notify petitioners. DEA understands the widespread interest in the prompt resolution of these petitions and hopes to release its determination in the first half of 2016. Now, I believe they've probably made their decision already. They're just not going to release it until the end of the first half of 2016. And this is just typical of the way they delay. The other problem that they'll face in trying to do this is that the way the Controlled Substances Act is structured and the way that the laws around cannabis are structured in relation to that are a very thick and tangled mess to have to unwind. First of all, they have to have some sort of demonstration of medical usefulness for marijuana. And they've always resisted this because their definition of what is medical use isn't the millions of people who are using it medically. It has nothing to do with the thousands of doctors who are recommending it medically. It has nothing to do with the almost two dozen states now that have made it legal medically. The determining factor for DEA is whether or not it passes muster with the FDA. And cannabis as a plant, it's either going to be difficult or impossible to pull that off because you can't standardize a plant. That's why Marinol gets a pass, because it's a standardized synthetic THC pill. But cannabis doesn't get a pass because it's a non-standard plant that you can't guarantee. And of course, the Obama administration has punted on this for a long time, saying that it's up to Congress to decide how to reschedule marijuana, despite the fact the Controlled Substances Act gives the president and the attorney general all the power they need to do the rescheduling on their own. They just don't want to be left on the hook for it.
Well, excuse me!
And as far as I'm concerned, that's the worst kind of political cowardice on President Obama's fault, is to punt on the issue of medical marijuana when it's so popular and so clearly medical, to want to push the can, kick the can down the road to Congress and say it's up to them when they can't accomplish anything? Coward. Happy 420, Denver. We're back right after this.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 80 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for?
Are you stupid?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy, because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at sales data, especially as we're looking forward to the 420 holiday, which takes place in just 13 days. And what used to be just kind of an inside joke amongst the cannabis community has now evolved into a legitimate cultural phenomenon where even the squares know what 420 stands for. And of course, this 420 happening on a Wednesday means that there'll be a full week of celebrations and a lot of them happening all across the country, both in legal and non-legal states. High Times was not able to secure a permit for their Cannabis Cup event in Denver, but they are still having a Cannabis Cup judging in Denver. That's taking place, and I believe there's an awards ceremony and concert taking place as well, so I'd check out CannabisCup.com if you're interested in that. They're also having a Cannabis Cup event, a 420 event, out there at the National Orange Center, the NOS, they call it, National Orange Show. That's it, National Orange Show, out in San Bernardino, California, for a couple of days as well. That San Bernardino location is turning into almost a de facto Cannabis Cup headquarters for Southern California. But the 420 holiday coming up is also of huge interest to the marijuana retailers now in three of the four legal states, in Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. Alaska still waiting to get its retail on board.
And the 420 holiday has turned into the Black Friday, if you will, of the marijuana industry. Just like how florists look forward to Valentine's Day, and I guess makers of green food coloring look forward to St. Patrick's Day, and people that make salsa look forward to Cinco de Mayo and so forth. Fireworks vendors looking forward to 4th of July, candy on Halloween. Each one of these having their own day, and now, of course, marijuana has its day on 420. And it's not just a cultural phenomenon. Like I said, it is a sales phenomenon. When we take a look back, and this is some numbers that we get from The Cannabist, Ricardo Baca and the staff out there at The Cannabist have compiled some of this. In 2015, okay, so Colorado's had legal sales for 2 years now. In 2015, three of the top 10 best sales days for the entire year landed on 420 and the weekend before 420. And I think 420 last year was what, a Monday or a Tuesday, something like that. So the weekend and the 420 day itself, three of the top 10 days. In fact, 420 of 2015, the Colorado marijuana shops sold $4.8 million of marijuana. And that's including the dispensary sales and the recreational sales. And at the time, as of April 20, 2015, that was the highest sales day. It was later surpassed on the special holiday they had of September 16th. Now, September 16th was specifically interesting in Colorado because that was the day that, because of Colorado's weird tax laws and Tabor and all of that, they had one day where the state waived retail and excise taxes. So that's when they had their number one sales day, was September 16th, because it was a tax-free sales day. Everybody was stocking up. And the number two sales day ended up being New Year's Eve, when everybody was stocking up for New Year's Day and New Year's Eve celebrations. So number one was the tax holiday, number two was New Year's Eve, and number three was 420. But there's every reason to believe that this year's 420 should definitely surpass that $4.8 million mark. We may see the first $5 million 420 holiday taking place in Colorado. And nationwide, of course, these numbers should also increase. We've seen similar sales figures in Washington State around the 420 holiday. And now that sales have ramped up in the state of Oregon, I'm expecting to see a great sales day here in Oregon as well. Unfortunately, the Oregon sales day won't be as great as it could be. The new law that has been signed, I think it was Senate Bill 1511, has now extended the early sales. We've got a situation here in Oregon where we don't have recreational shops yet. We only have medical dispensaries. But last year, the medical dispensaries were allowed in October to start selling a quarter ounce of flower to all adults, 21 and older, but only a quarter ounce. That has been extended now so that we will be able to purchase edibles, tinctures, lotions, salves, concentrates, and extracts, which we haven't been able to purchase up until now. Unfortunately, that doesn't go into effect. I don't believe it goes into effect until July, so it won't be in time for the 420 holiday here in Portland, Oregon, and elsewhere throughout the state. But now with three states with legal sales online, the combined sales figures from Oregon, Washington, and Colorado will certainly set a new 420 sales record, as it's the first 420 with three states legally selling cannabis. Colorado's statewide pot sales will top $5 million a day, according to this, let's see, who is this group that's, I gotta find the name of the, BDS Analytics, that's the group that's making these recommendations. They believe that statewide pot sales in Colorado will top $5 million a day between Friday, April 15th and Wednesday, April 20th, and they believe at least one of those days will top $6 million in marijuana sales. The largest sales day so far this year in Colorado has been almost $4 million in product, $3.98 million. That happened on February 5th. They're expecting to blow that away and maybe even reach $6 million in marijuana sales. In Washington State, they're expecting the 420 week will triple or quadruple the state's daily average. Daily average has been $621,000. The 420 period alone will see Washington State exceed $10 million. No current estimates for Oregon, as it is the early sales period and only limited to flower, but we should also expect some amazing sales here in the Beaver State. When we come back, we've got Cops Say Legalized Drugs, former District Attorney Allison Watson, coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalized drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour in our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment today. We've got a great guest joining us, a former assistant district attorney from Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome to the show, Allison Watson. How are you, Allison?
I'm great, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So glad to have you here on the show. And we speak to so many people in the different areas of law enforcement. We speak to cops and prison guards and probation officers. And today we get to take a look at things from the court's point of view. You, as an assistant district attorney in Knoxville, Tennessee, must have prosecuted hundreds or thousands of drug cases, marijuana cases. What was the net effect of your work in the drug war? Do you think it made any difference at all?
Well, actually, I was an assistant DA a little bit west of Knoxville. I was in Cumberland County. But, yeah, as far as that goes, I don't think that it really makes a huge impact in the positive ways that the drug war has always promised we would see. Instead, it's usually an opposite effect where people's lives are ruined and there's been made no dent whatsoever in the supply and demand of drugs or the negative consequences that come about.
Yeah, and as someone working in the court system, I imagine you ended up seeing a lot of young people coming through, a lot of people primarily African-American or Latino, and the impact that the drug war had on their lives. What are some of the negative impacts? Because I think some people out there just think you get busted with weed, you get busted with drugs, you do your time, everything's done, but it really lasts longer than that, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, I became an attorney and eventually a prosecutor and you'll hear many people say this, because I wanted to help people. You know, I wanted to make sure that the legal system was working to provide protection for people, as well as bring justice for people that were affected by crime. And the war against drugs really infiltrates into more than just our criminal courts. Didn't take long for me to see how our system really struggles even in the juvenile court, the family courts. Before I became a prosecutor, I was a juvenile and family law attorney, and you know, all of our courts are being filled with cases due to the drug war. And sure, you know, it starts with the kids. They come in, maybe they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, maybe they made a bad decision. But if they end up with a conviction, a drug conviction on their record, then they do face a lifelong consequences from conviction, from not being able to get financial aid from school, perhaps, denied employment, housing, job opportunities. I remember one young man came to see me asking what he could do. He was 25 years old. His name is Jim. I remember he and his parents were asking me, you know, I want to go join the military. I want to be like my dad and grandpa and serve my country. But when I went to the recruiter's office, they told me there were no variances being given. I have a marijuana charge from when I was 18. Me and a bunch of friends were pulled over. There was marijuana in the car. And we all just pled guilty to a simple possession, mm-hmm, or what have you. And, you know, there was nothing I could do for this young man because, you know, he entered a voluntary guilty plea. There's not much you can do in that situation. And he was just devastated that he couldn't follow his dream, serve his country, and, you know, he's willing to put his life on the line for the United States, but he couldn't because of a bad decision or the group that he was with when he was 18 years old.
And that's a sad part of the story, too, is some people will make a bad decision or just have some bad luck and get caught, and they're convinced by the cops, the systems, the prosecutors, whoever it is that talks to them that, well, you know, plead guilty, you'll do a little, you get a little fine, a little probation, it'll be all over. But they don't go about explaining how these other consequences will affect them for their life. And so I think you bring up a really good point, even just tangentially, that if you are caught in one of these circumstances, it's real important to talk to a lawyer because you need to know exactly what you're up against with the criminal justice system.
Absolutely. And, you know, we even have people that the drug war is affecting when they're coming into court on charges that aren't even drug-related. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, like a young lady I remember, she was a single mother. She worked in a factory, and she had run into some hard times financially and I think picked up some bad check charges, maybe a shoplifting charge. And, you know, these are minor crimes, ones that no one wants to see single working parents go to jail for. So in lieu of serving any time, judges and prosecutors will normally order these offenders to make restitution, pay some court costs, and stay out of trouble. But they're usually monitored by a year of supervised probation. Well, I remember this young lady, she was on probation and she failed a drug test for marijuana. And I distinctly remember her talking about, you know, she didn't drink, her parents had been alcoholics, but she suffered from anxiety and marijuana helped her. And the reasons just never really mattered. If you violate your probation, you know, for testing positive for drugs, and most of the time it is for marijuana, you have to go serve some time on that sentence. To flatten a one-year sentence, it's 9 months in jail. Mm. And he had to serve some time, and I remember worrying so much about her, thinking, man, she's going to lose her job. Her kids are going to have to go for a period of time without the only parent that they have. And the same day she went in to serve her time, I had a courtroom full of people who, you know, beat up their spouses maybe for the fourth time that were never going to see a day in jail. Mm. And you know, she had come in there for an offense that wasn't even drug-related at all, but because of our drug laws and drug testing and probation and all of those things that come together, she was, I think, suffering probably a lifelong consequence just from having to go serve those few days in jail. That changed her kid's life. That changed her job. That changed everything for her.
Yeah, and an important point to make off of this as well is we often hear from people who are against reforming our drug laws. They'll say, well, we really don't lock that many people up for marijuana anyway. And I'm like, well, yeah, but this lady wasn't locked up for marijuana. She was locked up for a probation violation on shoplifting or some other minor charge. And that doesn't show up as a drug war stat when they start making these arguments. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. And you know, another good point to make is 80 to 90% of drug users, marijuana users, are just like these folks that I'm telling you about. They're not harming anyone. They're no threat to society. They're employed. They're paying taxes. They're taking care of their families. And these are the people that are getting caught in the system and being punished. And we're not going to build a good society that way. We are just, you know, prohibition is self-sabotage. And these are good examples of why that is the case.
Well put. We're speaking with Allison Watson, a former assistant district attorney in Tennessee and a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition. They've got a whole stable of speakers nationwide and throughout the world. If you need someone to come speak to your event or your group, LEAP will be the organization to do that for you. They'll be glad to help you out. Check out leap.cc on the internet if you'd like to schedule a speaker like Allison. Now, Allison, I also appreciate that you're not coming at this from some Pollyanna viewpoint, thinking that it's all just marijuana and everything's hippy-dippy sun and light. According to your bio here, it says you're a founding board member of the House of Hope, a nonprofit for children and families displaced due to methamphetamine manufacture. And we know about the devastation that drug has wrought, both in the users of the drug and the manufacture of it, leading to explosions and, you know, toxic homes and so forth. So people, you know, can kind of accept the marijuana angle, but when they start talking about meth and decriminalizing or legalizing those drugs, they get a little more scared. As someone who's dealt with this and dealt with the fallout from methamphetamine, how do you answer them on that question?
Well, again, prohibition, no matter what you're talking about, is the problem. The underground criminal world that prohibition, not the drugs themselves, create, is the problem that the criminal justice system simply cannot fix. Locking people up, seizing their drugs and property, burning down fields, tearing down their labs, it's not putting a dent in the crime and the violence and the child neglect that we're seeing. And it's certainly not putting any dent in the supply and demand for drugs. What we're allowing is the entire marketplace to be controlled by violent gangs, drug lords, people who have no idea what they're doing, blowing up their houses and putting their kids in danger, manufacturing meth, for example. And this is just putting billions of dollars a year into their pockets rather than our communities. And, you know, it's putting our children, law enforcement, and overall public health at huge risk and takes law enforcement away from working on serious violent crime. The meth problem that we saw in my district for quite a long time, which is why we formed the House of Hope, was due to people having lives in their home, and often children were there. And that exposed not only themselves but their children to great risk. Accidents happen, explosions happen, the environmental risk of them even breathing in the fumes and chemicals of that. And if we can just take the market away from this underground world where the criminals are running the show and legalize, you know, we're not talking about a free-for-all. We're talking about smart legalization, strict and responsible regulation, and truthful, effective education. Other states and countries are doing this, and they are seeing the results that the war on drugs had promised we would see, instead of the opposite.
And that's something that we are seeing through, like you mentioned, other countries. Portugal has decriminalized all personal use of drugs and seen the harms from drugs drop, and the use of drugs has remained steady or dropped, depending on which drug that you're talking about. These, of course, will be subjects discussed in great detail at the upcoming United Nations General Assembly special session taking place over April 19th through the 21st. In New York City. We'll be there to cover that for you. And Allison, that's just, seems to be the wave of the future, is these countries and increasingly U.S. states recognizing the need to legalize or at least decriminalize all drugs. If folks out there are interested in having you come speak or would like to discuss this topic with you a little further, do you have any other contact information that you'd like to give out?
Sure. Of course, they can always find me through LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I'm also a board member in for an organization in Tennessee called the Tennessee Research Institute. We have a website, and you can contact us through that.
I'm sorry, we had a dropout when you were saying. What was the name of the institute again?
The Tennessee Research Institute.
All right, so leap.
We're dedicated towards educating professionals and the whole public about public policy issues, mainly right now towards the reform of our criminal justice law.
All right. Well, Allison, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for joining up with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I know you'll make a huge difference as a LEAP speaker in Tennessee. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Russ. It was an honor to talk to you today. I really appreciate having the opportunity.
Well, thank you so much. All right, stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Why do marijuana reformers constantly reinvent the wheel? When we return in just 2 minutes on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Carson doesn't believe in the Geneva Convention.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Why must cannabis reformers always try to reinvent the wheel? Today, I covered a few stories that got me to thinking about this, and one, of course, was the Grassroots Ohio initiative, medical marijuana initiative in Ohio that has cleared the first hurdle. The Ohio Attorney General has certified that its summary is a fair and accurate summary of its language, and this marks the second medical marijuana initiative for the state of Ohio. Marijuana Policy Project has already submitted their own that has also cleared this initial hurdle. So, in the state of Ohio, you've got the well-funded Marijuana Policy Project initiative that has all its language written out and all its regulatory scheme written out, and it's not too different from what you find in all the other medical marijuana states. And then you have this Grassroots Ohio, written by the founder of GW Pharmaceuticals, Don Wertschafter, which doesn't have any sort of regulations in it. They're going to go with a separate initiative to set up the regulations, right? So they're going to have to pass this constitutional amendment with, you know, 50% of the vote after getting 306,000 signatures, which really means getting about 500,000 signatures. So they're going to get 500,000 signatures, this grassroots group, and then have to also get signatures for the statutory one and pass both of them for their situation. And this grassroots Ohio thing as a medical marijuana initiative, I do have to give them some credit as far as marketing this as a medical marijuana initiative, because technically, as I look at it, it's legalization. Because this medical marijuana initiative by Grassroots Ohio does not require a physician's recommendation and does not require you to sign up in any state registry. So what exactly means that I'm using it medically is that I say I'm using it medically. Well, who's going to deny they're using it medically if that keeps you from getting a ticket or getting arrested? So, yeah, this medical amendment that Grassroots Ohio is proposing is really just legalization and calling it medical, because anybody who decides they want to use marijuana can use it if they say so. And folks, I'm not against that. I'm all for it. That's why I'm saying I give these guys some credit for getting the mainstream media to call this a medical marijuana initiative when the way it's constructed, the amendment alone, anybody could smoke pot. Any adult could smoke pot, and a minor could smoke pot with parents' permission. Now, I don't know what the statutory regulations might say as far as creating registries or condition limits or anything like that, but if I were fighting against this amendment, if I were an anti, I would just say, hey, this isn't medical marijuana. This is a trick. This is a Trojan horse. They're really legalizing it because there's no physicians involved and there's no sort of registry involved or anything like that. And again, I'm not against it. I would vote for such a thing. I think that's great. But the point I'm trying to make is, why are we reinventing the wheel? We already know what passes with medical marijuana. We already know how to put together a medical marijuana initiative in various flavors, right? We've got whole plant, grow your own medical marijuana in the West. We've got whole plant dispensary only marijuana in the East. We've got no whole plant non-smokable medical marijuana in Minnesota and New York, and that seems to be something that's developing as well. But we've got different types of medical marijuana all over the place. We got 23 different examples. Why do there need to be new examples invented here? And when you've got one group already established, Marijuana Policy Project, which, despite my disagreements with them on numerous issues, is an effective group and does get laws passed. I may not always like everything about all the laws they get passed, but they do get them on the ballot, and they do pass them. Why bother to try to put together some sort of grassroots group and put together all the fundraising and all the campaigning to try to get something different on the ballot and passed, when that same effort and fundraising, if directed toward the existing one, could make it such a slam dunk as far as winning the election? And it seems to me, by promoting a separate initiative, the only effect that I can see that happens is you split the possible signatures, you split the fundraising. If someone's only got $100 to give and they have to choose between this one or that one, you make it tougher to gather the signatures because some people might mistakenly sign the same initiative twice and invalidate a signature sheet. And you set up a situation, a stoners against legalization situation, where you'll have people voting against the MPP one so as to help the Grassroots Ohio one. And so we end up with this situation that can only depress the turnout, the support, and the activism around a medical marijuana initiative if everyone gathered behind the same one. But I think a lot of this, what this comes down to is people setting unrealistic purity tests for an initiative. Oh, well, it does this or that. It's a deal breaker, so we have to go forward with our initiative. I think there's some ego that goes with it as well. Why, I've been in this business legalizing for 30, 40 years now, and I know how to do it right compared to whoever else might be trying it. And this isn't limited to just Ohio. It's just Ohio happened to appear on my radar today. There's a similar thing going on in Missouri. In Missouri, they've got a well-backed medical marijuana initiative that's being opposed by the Mo Crap Act. These, you know, legalize it all for everybody with no age limits and toking and driving is legal act. And now I understand that group has got a splinter group that's filed a different legalization now. We have a similar thing going on in Arizona. Arizona's got the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, another MPP-backed initiative, putting together a fairly standard marijuana legalization like what we've got in four states already. It's not too different. In some ways, it's a bit better. But that's not good enough for some people. Some people have to form this Arizonans for Mindful Reform group that is now coming out in the mainstream media in Arizona talking about how they will publicly oppose and fight against the MPP initiative, putting them on the same side as Maricopa County District Attorney Bill Montgomery and that Sheila Polk person up in Yavapai County and all the antis, all the cops, all the Sheriff Joes in Arizona who want to see legalization fail are being helped by people who supposedly want legalization. We've got, we had a similar situation, or I guess the situation still exists in Massachusetts. Bay State Repeal was unable to make the ballot, but MPP was, and some of the people behind Bay State Repeal are vowing that they will not vote for the MPP initiative. Now, if any of you out there are listening to this and going, but Russ, aren't you the guy who vows he won't vote for Hillary Clinton? He will only vote for Bernie Sanders. Aren't you also guilty of this ideological purity to the detriment of the good of, say, the Democratic Party or the United States? I understand why you'd make that comparison. I think of that myself, but I think there's one critical difference. And that critical difference is Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton aren't running against an existing prohibition. There is an existing prohibition all throughout this country that daily ruins the lives of citizens. So when you're running a marijuana legalization initiative, that initiative isn't competing with other legalization initiatives. It's competing with prohibition. A prohibition that will be guaranteed to continue if the legalization does not win. Unlike the Sanders or Clinton contest, where you can make the argument that withholding a vote from Hillary might elect Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or somebody, those people, Cruz and Trump and so on, are still unknowns. They're not currently hurting anyone. Prohibition is currently hurting people, currently ruining lives, currently costing us our liberty. And so we have a chance to end that in Ohio, or to start to end it, in Ohio with medical marijuana, in Missouri with medical marijuana, in Arizona with legalization, in Massachusetts with legalization. So why reinvent the wheel? Why try so hard to build your own movement from the very beginning when there's already a movement that's already backed, it's already funded, that's already making the ballot that you could get behind and help push over the finish line? Any legalization beats all prohibition. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned. Hour two is next. We'll take your calls. We got more stories to talk about. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm live from Portland, Oregon. Radical Russ, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.